Let the church say amen.
Amen.
I think Brother Kevin knows me pretty well. He wanted to make sure I had plenty of juice for the microphone. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's one of the things you find out about serious preachers who love the word of God and who loves God's people. And he wants to see people be blessed. They're not really concerned about how many people are there or not concerned about finances and stuff like that, but what they're concerned about, give me a good mic so I can preach so that people can hear me. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's good to be in God's house. There's three simple reasons why I'm excited today. One is because God is still in control. Isn't that all right? The second reason why I'm excited is because there's a word coming from the Lord. And God is faithful in speaking to his people. And thirdly, I'm excited because you all could have stayed home, but you decided to come out to hear a word from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm excited about that. And I think you ought to give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I listen to the Christians of Journals as they minister to me. I can't speak for you all, but they minister to me. Amen. I got a text message from my sister this morning. She lives down in Tampa, Florida. And she and I were on the telephone late last night. And we were just talking about circumstances in general and how it affects all of us. And I told her, I said, sis, you're all up in my sermon. And so anyway, she sent me a text message early this morning. And in the text message, she said, good morning, bro. And that's how she is. She's got a very humorous personality. She said, good morning, bro. She said, if you get a chance, listen to the song, Our God is Awesome. And I text her back and I said, amen. I said, confirmation to the conversation last night. And then the Christians of Journalists came up here this morning and they opened up with the song, Our God is Awesome. Amen. He can move mountains. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's a protector. And certainly God is all those things. And I tell you, it's amazing how God just puts it all together. And then they come back by saying joy down in my soul. And I tell you, when you know that God is awesome, you'll have joy down in your soul. Amen. And then they topped it off by saying that they know what prayer can do. And certainly I sit here today and I don't be able to sit for too long. But anyways, I'm just trying to get through this introduction here. But I know what prayer can do. Amen. And so prayer has already done some marvelous things. But we ain't finished with that music selection yet because Brother Kevin's got something up his sleeve. He's running around here and I believe he's going to give us a little something after the sermon. So I'm going to get through this message and then get out of his way so he can come back and bless us with another song. Amen. Hallelujah. Having said that, I want to call your attention to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I don't know what page it is on in your pew Bibles, but if somebody finds it real quick, if you want to shout it out, Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse 19. Verse 19. And when you get there and you find it and you have it open in your Bibles, if you would... say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the word of God reads, I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Usually I preach from the King James Version, but I wanted to be very simplistic this morning. And I want everybody to get this message. It's a message that you don't want to miss. I want everybody to get this. So I want to take my time with it so that you can get every detail. Because I know we got some note takers in the house. Amen. But beginning at verse 19 from the New American Standard Bible Version, it reads, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. But I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. I want to use for a subject just for a little while, magnifying Christ in your body. Magnifying Christ in your body. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Gracious Father and our God who art in heaven, I'm just thankful as I can be this morning to you, Father, for your grace and for your mercy, for a reasonable portion of health and strength. God, I just praise you this morning, and I ask for forgiveness of all of my sins and pray that you would forgive all of us. Lord God, cause us to be holy and acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord God, our strength and redeemer who liveth. And then we pray, Father God, that you would just give us open minds and fertile hearts, that, Father, your word will come forth, that we'll be receptive to it, that we'll be not only hearers of the word, but doers of your word. And that, Father God, your word will bring forth fruit in its due season after taking up residence in our hearts. And then I ask, Father, that you would hide me behind an old rugged cross and cause your people to see all of thee and none of me, O gracious Father. May we be reminded that the cross is empty, that the price has been paid in full. And that, Father God, I ask that you would give me a supernatural amount of energy and strength, a miraculous amount of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, touch this body right now in the name of Jesus. For Lord God, it's not about what I need, but Lord God, it's about what your people need. And we want you to be glorified, for it is our desire to bring glory, honor, and praise to your name. And we do ask it all in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And let all of the saints of God say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My brothers and my sisters, certainly God has been good to us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The fact that God has been good to us is not based upon how well things are going or even how good we feel at a present moment or time. But the fact that God has been good to us, all we have to do is just look at the fact that we open up our eyes this morning and we see life. Amen. And the fact that we were able to get in our cars and drive down here to this branch of Zion without any hurt, harm, or danger. And the fact that we could sit in an open room with one another and hear the preached word of God without worrying about someone barging through those doors and threatening to take our lives ought to say to us that God has been good to us. Hallelujah. And so I believe that God has given me this message this morning, because how many of you know that sometimes God won't let you preach something until you go through something? Because the God whom we serve is a God who is about us delivering his word and giving a testimony, not only based upon truth and fact, but also with passion and conviction. Can I get a witness here? And so therefore, I'm convinced that due to my present circumstance, the Lord led me to this particular context of scripture, and he showed me that, hey, you're not the only preacher who has had to go through some issues in life. And so in this book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. It is a group of believers in Christ Jesus whom Paul loved very dearly. He loved them for several reasons. First of all, because they were children of God, but he also loved them because they had been faithful and committed in taking care of him financially and praying for him while he's incarcerated in prison. And as a matter of fact, that's Paul's situation right now, is that he's between a strait right now, because he's in prison and he's dealing with hard pressed circumstances on every side. Not only is he dealing with the consequences of being in prison, not only is he dealing with the harsh conditions of being in prison, but he's also dealing with the fact that people are sending him messages that there are so-called preachers out calling themselves preaching the gospel, but preaching it from a wrong perspective. Can I get a witness here? And so Paul wasn't just bothered about his personal circumstances. He was bothered about the way people were being treated and mistreated in the church. And so therefore, we must realize that everybody has circumstances. And so, but the thing that I find is that sometimes when people go through circumstances and have a situation, they have a tendency to want to keep it hush hush. Come on, somebody. I wish I had a witness in this place. But I stopped by to tell you that there are times when we go through things, we must realize that God has allowed it to come up in our life that we might share it with somebody else so that they might know that we're handling it and dealing with it in a way that glorifies God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I have joy this morning. And so therefore, let's take a look at the text. The Bible says, look with me in verse 12. Verse 12 says,
Now, I want you to know, Paul says to the church at Philippi, he said, I want you to know, brethren. So Paul is writing to the believers at Philippi. He says, I want you to know, he said, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Paul basically says there, due to the circumstances that God has allowed to come up in my life, it has caused the gospel to grow and to spread at a greater speed. I wish I had a witness here. Do you not know this morning that because of things that happen in your life, it causes the gospel to spread that much faster? And so therefore, we got to realize, hey, look at verse 13. It says, he says, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ becomes well known throughout the whole praetorium guard and to everyone else. He basically says, everybody knows about my situation. He says, everybody knows what I'm going through. Everybody knows how difficult it is. He said, but I want you to know it's due to the preaching of the gospel that this thing has spread. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, as soon as I find out that this spot on the lower right side of my back, whether it's cancer or whether it's not, I'm going to put the word out to everybody that I know to let them know that God is good if it isn't, and he's good if it is. I wish I had. As a matter of fact, when we get through the context of this scripture, you'll find out he's good if it isn't, but he's even better if it is. Good God Almighty. Lord have mercy. You may not feel like I feel this morning, but God is an awesome God. Stay with me. Stay with me just for a little while. I want to give you a formula to be able to handle every circumstance that will come up in your life. No matter how good it appears to be, no matter how bad it appears to be, this is a formula that if you follow it, it will not only bless you, but it'll bless everybody around you when you go through your storm. And so here we go. Here we go. And one might say is, one might be dealing with a storm pertaining to finances. One might be dealing with a storm pertaining to loneliness. One might be dealing with a storm pertaining to sickness. And another may be dealing with a storm pertaining to death that's in its inevitableness. But I stop by to tell you that no matter what you're dealing with, it's a formula that will work. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen before I preach the text? Here we go. Look with me in verse 19. In verse 19, it says this. It says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance, he says, through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The thing that Paul says here is, he says, number one, he says, you must understand that you've got to face your prospects, he says, and your circumstances. He says, you got to face them prayerfully. That's the first thing he says in verse 19. Do you see it there? And now the thing about facing your circumstance prayerfully is there's two things you got to do. There's two things you got to do. And the first part, he says, I know in verse 19. He says, I know that this is going to turn out for my deliverance. Whenever you're dealing with your circumstance, you got to know that you know that you know that you know that the word of God says it. And you can't just listen to what people say, because let me tell you something. People might tell you it's going to be all right and it might not. But I want you to know that the word of God, whatever it says, is what it ought to be. Paul says, I know, he says, that this, when you know that what you're going through, God is using to work things out better, not only for you, but for other people around you, that's a mighty good thing. And so the first thing you got to be is, when it comes to handling things prayerfully, is you got to be confident in that whatever you're going through, God's going to bring you out. You got to handle that thing confidently. You got to know what you know, what you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt. So Paul says, I know that this is going to turn out for my deliverance, he says, through your prayers. In other words, he says, I'm confident it's going to turn out, but the way it's going to turn out is through your prayers. Hallelujah. Now, you know what that says, my brothers and sisters? What that says to me is, not only do I need to pray for myself, but I need other folks praying for me. And so I'm so glad that Brother Kevin, I told you God has fixed this sermon today. I'm so glad that Brother Kevin said, I need to gather some folks around Brother Ron so that we can lay hands on him and pray for him, because we have a God who is a healer. And so we know today that we gotta have the confidence in knowing that we can handle this thing through prayer, but the basis is through prayers itself. Because the Bible says man ought to always pray, not only when you're sick, but you ought to pray when there ain't nothing wrong with you. And that's why I'm thankful today that every morning before my feet hit the floor, when my eyes are open, I said, God, I thank you for opening my eyes and allowing me to see another day. And then the second part of my prayer is, Lord, I thank you for my health and strength. And so so now I can say honestly, God, I thank you for a reasonable portion of good health and strength. Because even though I can't walk like I want to, even though I can't shoot a little b-ball right now, but the fact that I still can walk, come on somebody, I wish I had a witness here. And so Paul faced his circumstances prayerfully. Good God Almighty, you got to face your circumstances prayerfully if you're going to overcome that thing. And so this text deals with the fact that Paul is a prisoner, and it deals with his prospects. And so what do I mean by prospects? What I mean by prospects is this. It's Paul's view of things within the reach of the eye. In other words, Paul had expectation. He says here in this text, he says, I'm expecting some things based upon what the word of God says, not what I'm going through and not what other folk believe about me. But I'm basing this based upon what the word of God says. He says, secondly, look with me in verse 20 and verse 21. He says in verse 20, he says, for to me to live is Christ. He says, and to die is gain in verse 20. But he says in verse 21, that is, in verse 20, it says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, he says, I will not be put to shame in anything. He said, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul says, secondly, you got to face yourself. Situation positively. You got to face it first of all prayerfully, and then secondly, you got to face it positively. You've got to have a positive outlook. And in order to do that, there's two more little things you got to do to have a positive outlook. First of all, in verse 20, Paul talks about his determination. He says, you got to be determined if you're going to face your situation positively. What do you mean determined? He says, according to my earnest expectation and hope. In other words, Paul says, I'm expecting God to do something, and I've got unwavering hope that he is going to do it. And he says, I'm expecting him to do something. He said, I will not be put to shame, he says, in anything. In other words, you know, sometimes people will look at what you're going through and they will say, he's a fool for thinking God's going to heal him. I'm telling you. And folks will look at what you go through and say, they're a fool for thinking that a God they can't even see is going to bring them out. They're just going to be embarrassed when they end up dying and so on and so forth. And when they end up still being broke and still being lonely. But I stopped by to tell you that Paul said right here, he says, I will not be put to shame in anything. He said, but that with all boldness, he said, Christ will even now, just as he always does. And you know what that says to me? It says that Christ doesn't just do it once, but he does it every time. We stand in need of something. I wish I had a witness here. Every time we need something, every time we're faced with a dilemma, Paul says Christ takes care of it for us. He may not take care of it the way we want him to take care of it, but he always takes care of it. Good God Almighty, I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time with this text. And so Paul says you got to have determination in verse 20 if you're going to face it positively. But in verse 21, he gives us another point. He says, not only do you have to have determination, he said, but you got to have discernment. Look with me in verse 21, the first part, because there's two things you got to do to have discernment. He says in verse 21, he said, for me to live is Christ. He said, and to die is gain. It seems real simple, doesn't it? He says, you got to have discernment. And discernment about what? You got to have discernment about this life. He says, you got to be sharp when it comes to this life, because Paul says, for me to live is Christ. What's he saying? What he's saying is, for some folks, for them to live is to make more money. Y'all ain't helping me in this place. He says, for some folk, for them to live is to be the most popular in the place. He says, for some folks, for them to live is to have power and prestige. He says, but for me to live, he said, is Christ. In other words, he says, for me to live down here in this life is to bring glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, the fact that I'm down here, he said, my discernment, my spiritual sharpness about this life is that however I live is to bring glory to Christ, that somebody might be saved. Y'all ought to give God a hand clap of praise in this place right about now. That's the first part he says about discernment, because he says, hey, about this life, he says, for me to live is Christ. But secondly, he says in discernment about this life, he says, to die is gain. It's in the second part of the verse. Don't you see it? He said, for me to live is Christ. He says, and to die is gain. He says, about this life, if I'm living down here for Christ, I want to bring glory to his name. He says, but about this life, he says, if I die, he said, it is gain. In other words, he says, if I die, he said, I'm going to be better off
off if I die than I am while I'm living down here. And somebody might say, how can it be better? I mean, you got green grass, and how can it be better? You got clear blue water. Come on, somebody. How can it be better? You got nice fancy houses and carpets and lights, and you got all these friends and cars, and you got a good job. How can it be better? You got family and so on and so forth. Well, I stopped by to tell you that the reason why it gets better if you die is because down here, folk talk about you. Come on, somebody. I wish I had a witness here. Down here, folks will lie on you. Down here, folks will mistreat you. Down here, you're getting old and you're getting decrepit and you're fading away day by day on the outside. But I want you to know, up there on the other side, there is no sickness. There is no sadness. There is no dying. There is no lying, and there is no crying. And so he says, to die is gain. Hallelujah. Paul said this is how the text ought to be preached. And sometimes, like I said, in order to preach it, you got to be going through something in order to understand it, because God can show you when you lean and depend on him. Can I get a witness here? The third thing he says, stay with me. I'm almost finished. I got two more points and then I'll be out of your hair. The third thing he says, look with me in verse 22 and verse 23. Verse 22 says, but if. In other words, Paul is looking at his circumstance from every direction. He's looking at it from all different angles. And that's one of the things that we got to learn to do as children of God. We got to learn to stop having a one-track mind. Come on, somebody. In other words, just because bad news come our way, that mean that it's over. We got to stop having a one-track mind. But what it does mean is that what Paul is saying is that we got to have an open mind. And we got to have a fertile heart, which means you got to look at this thing from every different angle. In other words, Paul does this. Watch what he does. Look in verse 22. He said, but if I am to live on in this flesh. In other words, he says, hey, death could take him. He said, but if I live on, he says, I got to have a plan just in case if God let me stay. Lord have mercy. You say you may as well be gone if you ain't got a plan when he lets you stay. Does somebody hear what I'm talking about? Because there's some folk he's let live on and they didn't have a plan when they stayed and just made a mess of stuff. And so Paul says, he says, but if I am to live on in the flesh, he says, this will mean, what does it mean, Paul? It means fruitful labor for me. Isn't that what he says in verse 22? He said, and I do not know to which I'm going to choose. In other words, Paul says, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to live or die. He says, I don't know. He said, but what I do know is this. He says, thirdly, he says, you got to face your situation preparedly. In other words, you got to be prepared, whether you die or be prepared, whether you live. Do I have a witness here? I wish there was some, I wish we had some folks here who were not saved so I could tell them that you ain't prepared even if you got good health and strength. Because if you ain't got the Lord, you still ain't prepared. Come on, somebody. It does no good to be prepared to live here on this earth and not be prepared to die and go and be with the Lord. To have a witness here. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then yet lose his soul? Am I right about it? And so therefore, you gotta face it prayerfully. You gotta face it positively. And then thirdly, you gotta face it preparedly. Two things you gotta concentrate on in order to face it preparedly. In verse 22 again, he says, this will mean fruitful labor for me. In other words, he says, there's the blessedness of a fruit-bearing life down here. He says, if I succeed and come through this thing. He says, there's the blessedness of the fact that I get to bear fruit down here on this earth. There's the fact that I get to lead some more folk to Christ. There's the fact that I get to educate some more folks with the word of God. There's the fact that I get to restore some broken relationships. There's the fact that I get to pull some folks out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? There's the fact that I can equip some more of the saints. There's some fruit bearing going on down here. But Paul says, he says also in verse 23, he says, I'm hard pressed from both directions. He said, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. He said, for that is very much better. Don't you see it in verse 23? And so the second part of being prepared is you got to concentrate on the blessedness of a far better life up there. Can I get a witness here? For he says in verse 23, again, he says, I'm hard pressed. In other words, Paul says, I'm betwixt in a strait. He says, I'm in a box. And he says, and I'm hard pressed on every side. And is there anybody here who knows that God will allow you every now and then to find yourself in a position to where you're in a straight place, in a narrow place, in a box. And it ain't no room in the box for nobody but you. Wish I had a witness here. Don't matter how much you tell mom and daddy about your situation, and ain't enough room in the box for them. You can tell everybody you want about what you're going through, but they cannot come in the box because the box is too tight. And I want you to know that when you're in a box that tight, the Lord is the only one who can get in the box. Am I right about it? I wish I had a witness here. And so therefore, he says, there's the blessedness of a far better life. He says, I'm hard pressed. I'm in a box. I'm hard pressed on every side. I'm in a tight place. And the Lord is the only one who can come in with me. That's why he says, I got a desire to depart and be with the Lord. He said, because I know that's far better. He said, because I know if I depart and be with the Lord, he says, I won't have no more pain and no more sickness. Am I right about it? Good God from Mount Zion. I want you to know, I kept on reading in this text. And I'm almost finished as I approach my last point. My last point and the fourth thing I want to tell you is this. You got to face your circumstances practically. It does no good to talk about how good God is. Then all of a sudden when you find yourself in a storm, you can't give God no glory and you can't praise his name. Can I get a witness here? It does no good to talk about something. Sometimes you say God is good and somebody else will say all the time. And then you say all the time and they'll say God is good. Boy, we know how to start and we know how to finish it when it comes to words. But I want you to know that God every now and then will make you practice what you preach. Can I get a witness here? Look with me in verse 24. Verse 24 says, yet, he said, to remain on in the flesh, he said, is more necessary for your sake. Can I get a witness? Paul said, I want you to know in my situation, he said, it ain't just about me and how I feel about what I'm going through. He said, but it's about how the saints of God feel around me. He says, because, he says, it's far better, it's more necessary for me to remain and to share the gospel with you. And so he says in verse 24, he says, I got to assess my situation. If you are going to use practicality in your situation, you got to learn to assess your situation. Even after you've prayed, even after you've been positive, even after you think you prepared, you got to sit back down one more time and begin to assess your situation, because you may not completely be practicing what you've been preaching. Am I right about it? Good God from Mount Zion. But that's what he says in verse 24. He says, I'm assessing it. He said, to remain on in the flesh, he said, is more necessary for your sake. It ain't just about what I'm going through, but you still need me to preach the gospel, and I got a word for you. He says in verse 25, he says, not only do you have to assess it, he said, but you got to be assured. In other words, you got to reach a point in your practical walk with the Lord to where no matter how much folks say that you ain't going to come through, you know the Lord's got you under, got your back. You got to know that even no matter how much pain you go through, you got to know that God is still in control. Can I get a witness here? I wish I had somebody who know what I'm talking about. In verse 25, he said, convinced of this. Don't you see it? I said, you got to be assured. He says, I'm convinced. I'm assured. What are you assured about, Paul? He said, I know. He said that I'm going to remain. He said, and I'm going to continue with you all. He said, for your progress and joy and the faith. Don't you see it in verse 25? I don't know about you, but when I saw that verse, I began to shout, because after everything that Paul had talked about pertaining to his imprisonment, pertaining to his hard pressed on every side, pertaining to the fact that he might die in his situation, he said, but yet after much prayer, yet after being positive, yet after being prepared, he now says, I know. He said that I'm going to remain. I stopped by to tell you this morning, my brothers and sisters, that Reverend Ron Johnson is going to remain for a long time. I wish I had a witness here. God has assured me that I'm going to remain. Good God from Mount Zion. But the most important thing is that as long as you remain, make sure you be who God's called you to be. As long as you remain, make sure you do what God has called you to do. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody in this place. Because as a matter of fact, if you're not going to be who he's called you to be, if you ain't going to do what he's called you to do, then what's the point of being here? Come on, somebody. We ought to get excited right about now. In other words, in verse 25a, two things that Paul does. First of all, he looks at the realities. He says, it's a reality. He says, I know. He said, I'm going to remain and continue with you all. He said, for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul said, the fact that I'm going to continue, some folk ought to get excited. But you can only get excited when you love the word of God. Because when you got somebody who really expounds on the word and who really shares the word of God, the thought of them leaving you ought to put tears in your eyes. I wish I had a witness here. Good God from Mount Zion. I know that there's some folk who love money so much, who enjoy it so much, if the money gets low, tears come in the eyes. Can I get a witness here? But I want you to know it's the same thing when it comes to the word of God. If there's a thought that you might not get the word, it ought to bring tears in your eyes. Good God, from Mount Zion, I'm almost finished. Look with me in verse 26. Verse 26 says this. It says, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus, he says, through my coming to you again. Paul has come to the conclusion in his assurance. He says, you got to look at the realities. And then he says, secondly, he said, you got to look at the reasons. Good God Almighty. He says, look at the reasons. What are the reasons? The reasons is, he says, your proud confidence. Paul says basically here, I know you missed it, but it's in the text. He says, your proud confidence. In other words, Paul says, not only did he have confidence that he was going to come out of this situation, but the saints at Philippi had confidence he was going to come out of this situation. Because Paul says, your confidence. Don't you see it in verse 26? Your confidence in me, he said, may abound. They had confidence that Paul was a man of God. They had confidence that Paul could preach the word of God. They had confidence that Paul would live the word of God. They had confidence that Paul would stand on the word of God. They had confidence that Paul would not fold in the face of adversity. They had confidence that come hell or high water, Paul was going to preach until he had no breath in his body. And I stop by to tell you today, my brothers and sisters, come hell or high water, whether I'm by myself, whether I'm in pain, or whether I'm suffering, even if I get to the point to where I'm on my sick bed, if you can make it to my bedside, I'm going to whisper a word of God in your ear. Something that will encourage you. Something that will help to convict you. Something that will deliver you. If you can get to my bedside, I'll have a word from the Lord. Can I get a witness here? Don't you see it in the text? He says, I'm looking at the reasons. He says in the last part, he says, in me may abound in Christ Jesus. He said, through my coming to you again. Paul realizes, he says, if I do make it back to come to you again, he says, and I am, he said, it'll be through Christ Jesus. And the last thing that Paul does is he realizes, he says, if I come out, it won't be because of me, but it'll be because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stopped by to tell you, I wish Sister Betty was here. I'd stick a pin right there. The thing you got to understand is this. Every time you come out of your storm, make sure you stop and give God the glory, because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Give him glory. Give him praise. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. And all the time, he's showing up his. When you're broke, God is good. When you're lonely, when your friends walk off and leave you, hallelujah. When you're sick, when you're facing death, hallelujah. What about when you die? Somebody said he just got better. Woo! Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. If God has blessed you this morning, give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. It's now communion time. Hallelujah. But before we have communion, I'd like for every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. Just for a second. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. And I want everyone under the sound of my weak voice, I want you to really stop and think. I want you to stop and think about where you are in your walk with the Lord. Think about where you are. And think about Paul's situation today. And ask yourself the question, if I were facing death like Paul was, would I be able to handle it the way Paul did? And if your answer is, no, I wouldn't be able to, then I want you to ask yourself the question, have I really given my life to the Lord? Is he in control? Has he saved my soul? And if that answer is no, then I want you to raise your hand right now. I want you to raise your hand right now. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that everyone in the sound of my weak voice has professed to be a born-again Christian and to have salvation. And I ask, Father, that you would now strengthen them. that, Father, if they feel that they're born again, but they don't know if they can handle that yet, I want you to start showing them how to get prepared. Because, Lord God, if we live long enough before the rapture, then one day we'll all be faced with that dilemma. And, God, we know that you want us all to be ready. So, God, we ask you to get us ready. Strengthen us in your word. Strengthen us through the other saints of God that are around us, and place people around us who will be positive when we go through things, not people who will be negative. Folks who will pray for us and not put us down and talk about us. God, we give you glory for that. Honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at the 23rd verse, Apostle Paul basically states to the church at Corinth that as he had received instructions for the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion, he received them from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, as I received them from the Lord, so I share them with you or give unto you. And he says that every man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. And he said, as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, he said, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And Paul teaches that the juice, the wine, symbolize the Lord Jesus Christ's blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And the bread symbolizes his body that was battered and bruised on Calvary's cross in our place. And this is instituted to commemorate his suffering, his love, and his death on the cross for all the saints. And it is to remind us, as often as we do it in remembrance of him, that we have forgiveness of sins, that he paid it all on the cross. And so the fact that we need to be in a spiritual condition, we need to examine ourselves. And he says, it's important to examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith. And he said, for this cause, he said, drinking the cup unworthily and eating unworthily, he says, many were sick and many did sleep and many had died. Okay? And so we want to be serious about the Lord's Supper. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we ask for forgiveness of all of our sins. We pray, Father God, that you would place us in a spiritual condition as we understand what this Holy Communion is all about. Forgive us, Lord. Bless the bread, bless the juice. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm going to sing this song. You know, it goes right along with Brother Ron was saying, you know, no matter what valley you're going through, God is good. It's hard to, when you're going through it, it's hard to understand why it's happening to you. But like I always say, if you usually look around you, you find somebody that's got it worse off than you do. And I was walking up King Street this week, and, you know, I probably should pray more than I do, but if I see somebody on the street, like even if it's somebody broken down on the side of the road, I'll say, Lord, keep them safe. And today I was, anytime I see somebody that, whether they can't, you know, whether they can't walk the same way we do, or today, this week, it happened to be a lady walking down the street and she had no hands. I said, God, thank you for my hands. And I said, God, give her a special blessing. But no matter what you're going through, the song says, even in the valley, God is good. If I have the right, I might have to do a sound check here. That's not it. But at least I know I have it plugged in right.
High upon this mountain, the sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It is there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. He carries his children through like he said he would. Even in the valley, God is good. This road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged place where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear him gently whispering, I'm here and all is well. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. He carries his children through like he said he would. Even in the valley, he is good. He is good. God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. He carries his children through like he said he would. Even in the valley, God is good. God is good.
Amen. God is good. Amen. Do you have time for one more, Brother Ron? Do you have time for one more? Oh, this lady's going to think. I don't know what this lady's getting ready to think when I sing this song, but I sang it last week. And she'll know who she is when the song starts. No, dear, I'll do your song next week. But, you know, as Brother Ron preached, I tell you, you know, when you're a singer and the preacher preaches, you find a lot of songs that go along with the message. No matter what, you know, when you read the news, whether you read it online or read a paper newspaper, the news ain't good, folks. I hate to use improper English, but it ain't good. But you know what? When you got the Lord on your side, when you're saved, when you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about it. Because as the song says, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right. God sent Moses to lead all his people out. But Pharaoh's heart was hard and he thought he'd give them the route. So he chased him all down to the Red Sea shore. He thought he wouldn't have to worry about old Moses anymore. But Moses stretched his rod out over the sea. And the Lord answered Moses with a little gentle breeze. I can see Moses now with a smile on his face, telling all the people in his gentle grace. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right. A little boy named David went out to fight the giant. Everyone laughed at such a funny little sight. A little shepherd boy armed only with a sling. Beside mighty Goliath seemed like such a puny little thing. But David said, you come to me with spear and a sword.
But I come to you in the name of the Lord. He put in a stone and he gave it a fling. When it left his hands, David, he began to sing. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right. Listen, church. Now for the greatest story of them all. Jesus was a-dying and hell had had a ball. All the demons were rejoicing, they thought they had won the war. But soon they would not be laughing anymore. From that first Easter morning when the sun woke up the earth, the caverns of the deep opened up as to give birth to a resurrected Savior with healing in his wings. And now the host of children rise and sing. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right. It's gonna be all right, be all right, be all right. Amen. It's going to be all right, Brother Ron.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. Man, thank you so much. I just hope you enjoyed the message in those songs today. We're going to dismiss with a word of prayer. Don't forget services next Sunday at 9 and Thursday night. Brother Ron and the Christian Sojourners are here for Bible study right here in this building at 7 p.m. for Bible study if you happen to be in town. Let us dismiss with a word of prayer at this time. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful service and thank you for this day of communion and what it represents. And may we never take it for granted. And Father, we thank you for all these wonderful folks. We thank you for all the praises today. We thank you for the message. And Father, may we all share what we've learned today with others in this world who are down and lowly. And Father, we ask you to continue to have your hand on Brother Ron and have your hand on the other prayer requests that we lifted up today. Father, we ask you to keep all these wonderful folks safe until we meet again. Until your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.